All right, everybody. This is Sally Efty.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And today on the Startup Chat, I want to talk about why do we treat some of our worst customers the best?
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Right? So here's the concept. Here's the thought or the idea that I want to throw out there and have a conversation with you about this. I have observed this over the last few years in my company, but also in many other people's startups and companies. And this has bothered me for a while. It's been in the back of my mind as an idea that's been marinating. And I want to understand it better. I want to think about it more clearly. So I want to talk to you about this today. What I've noticed is that oftentimes, if you think about, like, let's take a company that has like 1,000 customers, right? Some customers will be very loud, very aggressive, very demanding, right? The squeaky wheel, right? That gets the grease. They will demand certain features and they will send you emails constantly, tweet to you constantly, comment on your blog. They will be very loud. They will create a lot of noise. And with that, they will create influence. It's going to be top of mind for you. So all of a sudden now, because one customer is very, very passionate, champions this very aggressively, the startup will think, well, this is something that's really important. Maybe we should do this sooner than later. Or another example is a customer that will come back and very aggressively negotiate with you and go back and forth and push and it constantly we come back again and renegotiate. And usually these customers, they will push your team to the limit and get the ultimately absolutely best price for your product. And there's many other examples like that. And then there are these other customers, these beautiful souls and creatures that will just, you know, they also have features they'd like you to have, and they also would like a better price if that's plausible, but they're a bit more quote-unquote reasonable, right? So they're nice, they're quiet, they're just silently and patiently waiting for you to build these features that they hope to see one day, or they're hoping that at some point, you know, maybe the price gets more affordable, or maybe they are richer or wealthier and they can afford it more. But they're just not as aggressively coming to you and pushing you and demanding. And so they pay full price and they don't get the features they want immediately. Although they might be super loyal and really positive and really empowering and really championing customers. And I've seen this model in many things in life and in the world, but especially in the business context and startup concept, I find it fascinating. Sometimes the employee that most aggressively negotiates for the salary will get the best salary, and the other employee that's equally as competent and is just nice and never asked for a raise doesn't get it, right? Why are we sometimes treating not our best customers the best, giving them the best price, them a bigger microphone and listen to them more, but do that with our worst, maybe is the wrong way, but our loudest customers? I want to talk about that and just get your reaction on this thought first.
Yeah. Customers. I think it's really important to treat customers equally, regardless of how they're treating you. So that goes for the most vocal one as well as the quietest ones. And what I mean by that is there's a bunch of factors at play here, right? There's the actual customer and what they're saying they need or want. Then there's you and how you're hearing it and what you're asking them back to really get to the bottom of what, which is oftentimes hard. Then there's your business and your business needs. And then there's all kinds of other things. But those three things, I think, are basically the way I think about this kind of thing when it comes to customers. And, you know, why do we listen to kind of the most vocal ones and not really, you know, pay as much attention to the quiet ones, et cetera? What we're really trying to do is build the best product experience, the best business that we can, the best customer service we can provide our customers. And I think that what you have to do is have to have a lot more balanced approach to this. And that takes a lot of work. So your most vocal customers, they're not necessarily your best, but they're also not necessarily your worst customers. Your quietest customers that just do keep using your product and don't complain or anything like that, they're also not necessarily your best customers or your worst customers. So part of it is this attitude. And the attitude we have is that we want to react. And that's for that middle part of how you're interpreting, mm-hmm. how you're reacting comes into play. I've had customers who seem very vocal, who are vocal, and I didn't do anything for them except just talk to them, even though they wanted like 10 features. And by the end of it, they didn't want anything because I just kept pushing and they said, hey, I need this. I need that. I need that. I'm like, okay, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. And eventually they convinced themselves they didn't need any of it. So I think this has more to do with the art of speaking to a customer and knowing, more importantly, what you're really looking to do with your own business and your own product and what experience are you trying to create, and making sure whatever inputs you get, you're not jaded by the volume, whether it's the quantity or the quality of someone communicating with you.
I love that. I think in many ways, this is an important lesson that's really hard for founders to learn, is that just because a customer is really loud or sometimes very aggressive doesn't mean you have to give in and give them what they want, right? And a lot of times that is what's happening, is that we react because somebody seems to have authority and dominance, and we feel like, well, you know, in order to succeed, we might have just to do what they want. The flip side of that is, I think when it comes to discounting, one beautiful thing that I always remember Basecamp saying is that, you know, we have this like super cheap, super simple price so that we don't have to negotiate with anybody. We don't have to give a discount to anybody. I mean, they might have like a prepay annual discount that is like flat and the same for everyone. And so so we can treat every customer is worth the same, and we treat every customer the same. And we even limit it in a way where even as you grow, at some point you can't give us more money. So you cannot rise in importance to us in a way that's disproportionate that would have us have to cater to a handful of customers and be dependent on our fate, on them liking us or them keep paying us money. So I always admired and loved that they created this business model that kind of created equality within their customer base, right? In some interesting way. On the pricing and negotiation side, I think that's an interesting one, especially in enterprise sales, but also even in B2B SaaS today, even if it's not like listening and building feature roadmaps based on whoever is the loudest, oftentimes companies will give a little bit of a better deal to a customer that is a better negotiator. Or let's take another example, right? Employees, right? I don't remember the studies anymore, but I've seen many articles and studies about employees getting more raises when they're better negotiators, or when they, like employees that go twice a year to ask for a raise on average get more raises and higher raises than people that only ask every second year. Or I even remember seeing somewhere, I didn't verify this, that women traditionally in the past were asking less aggressively for raises than men, and hence men were getting more raises. And so how do you design a model? How do you think about equality for customers or for employees, independent from who is most proactive, who is championing the loudest, who is pushing the hardest, or who's the best negotiator or communicator around it versus the best performer?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times for me, it goes back to the business and it goes back to what are the business needs. That's what we forget. We focus so much on the individual feedback we're getting. We don't look across all the feedback, and then we don't use that data across all the feedback to go figure out what the business need is. This is what happens with team members too. So when you have a set of team members, are you actually measuring their performance objectively? Are you actually showing it to them consistently? And are they able to understand how to make it better? Because I know the team member thing is a little bit of a tangent, but I think it is relevant. And so, and then what is that? How are you determining what that actual metric is, or what that accountability thing is, so that everybody knows how they're doing and how other people are doing? And when it comes to customers, using a similar framework, your filter isn't the same, obviously, as team members, right? You're not going to be super transparent with the customer about, these are the 10 things we think we're going to build. What do you think? That usually doesn't work, right? What you're trying to do, though, is you're trying to focus in on what's most important to your business right now. And how can you take that feedback and align it with it? How can you use the filter? For example, if a lot of the features that customers are asking for are like not going to improve retention, but retention is your biggest problem in the business today, guess what? Don't build any of those features that aren't going to improve retention. Find the ones in the feedback, or find the feedback that aligns with features that are actually going to help you improve retention. So it just goes back to what's the outcome you're trying to get?
I love that. All right. I think that that concludes the episode for today. This is an interesting topic. If anybody that listened had some strong feelings or a story to share or a philosophy or something they've seen a company do well or do really terribly bad, please let us know. We always love to hear from you. Send us an email at steli@close.io or hnshaw@gmail.com. And let's keep this conversation going. But I do think that more businesses have to learn how to not just react to whatever whatever customers or employees or anybody else is throwing at them and be in a super reactive mode, but really think about how to treat their customers, their employees, the team in the best interest of the overall business and in a way that's really fair and has longevity in mind. And that's something that I think is missing and something hopefully we can all work on to improve long-term.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
That's it from us. Bye-bye.
See ya.